Says in John 19, I want to talk about kingdom speech because it's important that we have a voice in our culture today. Amen? Verse number 10. Then Pilate said, speaking to Jesus, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Wow. That's pretty straight stuff, huh? He's speaking to Pilate. Pilate's speaking to him. The Lord's working on behalf of every one of us in this room tonight. You sense that? I do. He's working on behalf of us collectively, his church. Are you ready for that? This is the best day of your life. This is the beginning of new season. It's Rosh Hashanah. And then following Rosh Hashanah, atonement, where we repent and we bring before the Lord our failures. And we need to step into the season. No coincidence that things are happening in the realm of the Israeli faith and their commitment to God. And then the realm of the church, because we're so deeply connected in the roots of who we are. So no matter what's happening in your life, never stop telling God how good he is. Always remember to come to him and give thanks to him, for he is good. He is good on your worst day. He's still good. Amen? So Father, thank you. We praise you for truth. Reveal it to us and change us by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It's time to break the silence. We've been silenced for decades in the United States of America. And looking at this text that brought some things to the forefront that I think I just want to share with you from my heart, because they're very important matters to us. We need to break the silence and look at what happened in this passage related to that. First, Jesus spoke out when Pilate used his judicial authority to affect Jesus' destiny. Then Jesus broke his silence. Up until then, he didn't speak a word. He didn't answer much at all. But when Pilate started messing with his destiny, Jesus spoke very clearly. He broke his silence. And here's what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." The second thing that kind of popped out of the passage to me, Pilate's authority came from God to be exercised on evildoers. That's how God has designed it. And it's become perverted at times, but the plan of God is that authorities are to use their authority against those who do evil. So in Matthew 17, when they had come to Capernaum, this is the story of Jesus and his disciples and those who had received the temple tax. These were representatives of the Roman government as well as the Israeli government, and temple tax was something that everyone had to pay for the worship of the Lord. They came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." And Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. So the third thing that kind of pops up in all these passages related to government and authorities is Jesus paid taxes to keep from being offensive while he was doing good. That's what it says in that passage. Now, technically, he didn't have to, but he did. And he subjected himself because he did not want to offend those in authority, because he was doing good and he wanted to continue doing good. Because in Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So now Jesus is headed for trial, and he's standing before Pilate in my text. He's been escorted there because he's been accused of wrongdoing. But Jesus had done nothing. He had done nothing at all wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong. And Pilate's attempting to assess to see whether or not he's done wrong in the sight of the Roman Empire, but can find no fault in him. And during the examination, Jesus was silent. He didn't debate him. He didn't argue with him. Sometimes we speak too much. Sometimes we speak prematurely. Jesus has not said a word. They're asking him questions. He's not responding until they come to a certain point. There's a point where we should break silence. In Calvary, I believe we have reached the place, it's time to break silence. I believe there are decisions being made concerning us, but we are not using our voices. We're not being heard. When I read the document last weekend related to the lawmaker who decided to pull back that particular AB bill related to helping those who wanted to come out of a lifestyle that they didn't no longer want to live or were looking for a way out, he decides to pull that bill and stop it, and it's directly related to the fact that the church finally found its voice again, and we began to speak again, because otherwise, when we don't speak up, here's what the message is. You don't care. You're not passionate. When we were gonna run with it and do whatever we want to do, because until you speak up, we've got free rein here. We're not using our voices. Stuff is happening in our culture. People are making decisions about us and our culture and our children and their futures, and we're not using our voices. At a certain point in time, Jesus spoke up. It's good to remain silent when we are marching around the walls from the first right to the sixth day. But on the seventh day, there ought to be a shout. The question was asked Jesus, aren't you going to speak up? When Pilate threatened Jesus' destiny, saying, I am in control of your destiny, all of a sudden, Jesus broke silence. And folks who think they're in charge of our destiny, it's time we broke silence. He stepped up and he spoke. Whenever our destiny is challenged, we need to open our mouths. Whenever we're told, well, they can start us or stop us, they can go and do whatever it is they want to do and we can't do anything about it. If they think they know our expiration date, our expiration date is not in the hands of the politicians. Our expiration date is in God's hands. And I love quality doctors and nurses, but you can't tell me when I'm leaving up out of here. Only God can. Pilate, with judicial authority, begins to speak of Jesus' destiny, but Jesus spoke up and said, you just hold on. Wait a minute. The only way you can speak in that manner to me, the power that you have has come from on high. When I left heaven to come to earth, you were not over me. Who told you you get to choose my destiny? Who do you think you got your power from? Jesus never spoke during the trial, no matter the accusation, how crazy, how wild the accusations were, until somebody started tampering with his future. And when others begin tampering with your future, which is set before you ever came here, it's time for you and me to speak up. Jesus said of us, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. You have to express righteous indignation. You have to, which basically is anger used in the right context. When someone begins tampering with our future, and you know our future is greater than what they're speaking about, it's time for the church to speak up. Speak back to negativity and to those who think they have authority over you, but don't have authority higher than God's word, because God's word is always the highest authority, no matter what office the people hold. And Jesus shows us the example. And Paul then elaborates on it in Romans 13. And Paul is speaking about what Jesus was speaking to Pilate about. Paul said, we are all subject to authority. That authority is directed and should never be directed at the good citizens, but toward evildoers. The confusion we're in today, certain authorities see followers of Jesus as the evildoers. We are in a day of unprecedented persecution of Christians, even in America. I mean, come on, folks. They look at people like us, we're the deplorables. We cling to our guns and Bibles. Yeah, we do. Absolutely, we do. Amen? We believe this book. Jesus was not in violation of any law, civil or religious. They had no right to even have Jesus standing before Pilate. And some are having to stand before some things we should not have to stand before. But yet this was the plan to get Jesus to his destination, which meant our redemption. So God permitted that. Jesus had to die on the cross. We would not be here tonight if Jesus had not died on the cross. And the enemy has been wrongly attempting to execute authority over you. But we are going to break that tonight. The Holy Spirit wants us free. We've been bewitched, but we're going to break that witchcraft out of here in Jesus' name. You've been scared. You've been silent. Tonight, we're going to lift our voice like a trumpet. There is acceleration coming to the church. There's some good stuff going on in this house, but we need to start celebrating it and getting excited about it. And you have to be careful when they have Jesus and Barabbas standing together. The tricky part is some will choose Barabbas and say, Jesus' blood be on us and our children, and create a generational curse on your children. Be careful of your choices. Be careful of your choices. They placed an innocent next to a guilty man. I'm speaking about us, the body of Christ, followers of Jesus. We've been silent too long. Those pushed to the side, that's what they've looked at us as being. We can just push you to the side and go on with our agenda. Jesus spoke up when the enemy started to mess with his destiny. Folks, the destiny of the church in America, the destiny of this great ship of state attached to the church and the Judeo-Christian value system is at stake. Our destiny is at stake. And listen, stuff the enemy throws at you that starts messing with our destiny, open up your mouth and say something. Because if you don't say something, then you won't do anything. God gave us mouths not to just to express our love for him in worship, but to say, wait a minute, Satan. We're not going any further. We're not backing up one more inch. We're not throwing in the towel. We're standing up to represent the one we believe in and the principles for which his word stands. Jesus knew the authorities would be offended if he didn't pay his taxes. He knew to keep the offense quiet and down, because some people will stir up whatever they can find to do harm to the progress of Jesus' kingdom. He knew that. So this, the wisdom of God in him said, no, we're going to pay him anyway. Jesus, go fish, Peter. Go fishing. The first fish you catch, Look in his mouth. There's going to be enough gold there to pay your taxes and mine. We're going to get it all covered. I believe God's working something out for each of us. A fish is swimming your way. Amen. In the next season, this enemy will have nothing against you. He won't be able to dig out anything to find in you. He'll not be able to terrorize you one more day. You have the right to speak up against him because of the authority of God's promises in his word and the blood of Jesus, his son. God made you his own. He decreed you to be the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath. So Jesus neutralizes his attackers by his deeds and his words. And Jesus was on earth to do good, to free people from what? The oppressiveness of the devil. He had no other motive. That's what he came to do. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Listen, Calvary, we just want to be good to people. That's why we're here. We want to be a blessing to people. We're not in this for self-satisfaction. We just want to be good to people, to love and to live and to lead like Jesus. They could not find anything against him. And let me show you what Jesus was doing. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what he wants to manifest in us. There is no speed limit, no law against these things. There's no speed limit related to this. They can't arrest us for loving people. They can't arrest us for having joy. Calvary, God's releasing us to love others, to have peace, to share peace, to demonstrate joy and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. You can do all you want to, and no one can stop you, guided by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus displayed all of these attributes, and there was nothing they could hold against him. Not one thing. And when we have the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law against loving even our enemies. So I want you to put your foot to the pedal and begin celebrating, because we want to fully express these characteristics in this season that we are in. We want to fully express the fruit of the Spirit that's developed in our character. Someone will be delivered. Someone you encounter will be healed. Someone will have a breakthrough. Somebody is going to be blessed. Jesus is in this place. Amen. Someone's debt's going to get broken. Someone's heart is going to beat in the right rhythm. Someone will get a good report from the doctor. Anybody want to grab hold of that one? And when wondering, what shall we do? Keep doing good. Calvary Christian Center, keep doing good. Body of Christ, keep doing good. Because that's kingdom. That's his principle. It's how we break the silence. You can't shut down because there's criticism coming from the culture. Keep doing good. Keep smiling at people. Hug them. Keep doing good. Touch your neighbor and say, keep doing good. And many never see the sacrifices or the commitment or the extension of love and patience until they take us to court and we're put on public display. Then on display is the good we're doing in the name of the one we serve. We ought to take a moment and celebrate how God is working his fruit out in our lives. Thank the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit is working in our lives. Amen. Celebrate, because we're still doing good. Break the silence. Keep doing good. Some attacks are designed to see you respond in an ungodly way. But if you keep doing good when under attack, it confuses your attacker. That's why you just keep doing good. You make sound with your lips. You make sound that pleases God. Love them when they criticize you, because All they're doing is promoting you. Opposition doesn't break you. Opposition makes you. Keep doing good. The devil has to have somebody. Sometimes it's even a family member. But keep doing good. It might be a betrayal. Keep doing good. Never stop doing good because somebody broke your heart. There are more people to help, others that will support. God wants to give us enlarged hearts. Open up your hearts for the next group of people that he's going to bring into your life. Keep doing good. Yeah, you were disappointed. Keep doing good. You don't understand why things have gone the way they've gone in your life. Keep doing good. You're too far along to harbor bitterness and unforgiveness. Keep doing good. If you're going to return to the top, keep doing good. You feel like you're under attack? Keep doing good. Nothing can stop you and your heart from growing the fruit of the Spirit when you've opened your heart to the truth and break silence by keep doing good. There's a community here that needs our help. We can't keep just driving by them. We have to do something to lift them. Keep doing good. And let the culture see our love for one another, see our connection and our commitment to one another, and they'll be drawn to Jesus. They'll be added to the church. And the Lord added to the church every single day those who should be saved. Amen. Isn't that amazing what God can do through people who allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow in them and be manifested in them? For whatever reason, the churches of America have thought, and a lot of them are starting to turn from this thought, but a lot of them have thought for a while that the simple mandate given to us of the Great Commission was not enough. So, church after church added program after program after program, and this and that and the other, because we never felt like the great commandment was sufficient. Listen, God isn't looking for better methods out of the church. He's looking for better men and women, better pastors, better leaders who will lean on him, who understand that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Our dependency on the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to finish the Great Commission, to get the job done that God wants done. And listen, if we are so dependent upon the Holy Spirit, how do we ever assume we can do any of this without him, without his strength and manifestation? Do we really want to try evangelizing the world and taking the gospel to every creature without his help, without his participation? We must return to those experiences that we grew up with, those experiences that some have never even experienced or know anything about. The suddenly of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the sounds of him when he's at work in the hearts and lives of people, the sights, the observations we have when we see the Holy Spirit at work in the heart of somebody, the speech of Pentecostals because there's a fire on their tongue and because there's a fire in their heart. And as we experience the significance of the presence of the Lord, it's time for us to get our voices back. We gave our voices up to those who said, you cannot be thoroughly Pentecostal and reach this generation. We gave up our voices to those who said, the days of miracles and signs and wonders are over. We gave up our voices to those who said that. We threw everything away on that premise. We gave up our voices to those who said, a young generation will never embrace the message of holiness and conviction. Wrong! We gave up our voices. Many have been seduced by all kinds of wild doctrines, ideas, and concepts. We have to get our voices back and understand that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? To get our voice back and proclaim the day of the Lord is at hand. To get our voice back and proclaim righteousness exalts a people, but sin is a reproach to any nation. Where's our voice? Our voice and speak the truth and speak clearly and speak firmly, to stand up and speak for Jesus once again. When Peter went to preach to the house of Cornelius, he proclaimed Jesus to him and his family, that Jesus, the one born of a virgin, Jesus who lived a virtuous life, Jesus who suffered a death on our behalf, Jesus who was raised by resurrection, Jesus who's going to return. He just simply preached Jesus to them. What happened in that room? It says as he preached Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell on them as he had fallen on the disciples in the upper room. Why do we complicate all of this and make this so difficult for everybody? It was so uncomplicated and so simple and so easy for all of this to happen because people just simply did what Jesus asked them to do. And when you simply do what Jesus asks you to do and speak up for him, then great things begin to happen in the body of Christ. Amen? So how do we reach every nation? It's going to take what it always took, what it took in the day of Paul the Apostle and the early disciples, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to find and reach the unreached? With the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not another program. How do we push back the darkness we're facing in our culture with any hope of having an impact in our world today? It's going to take the same anointing of the Holy Spirit then when it crushed the Roman Empire. And listen, how do we expedite healing to the nations and the reconciliation of races and bridge the generations that exist in churches, the multi-generation? The anointing of the Holy Spirit brings everything and everybody together. That's what he came for. And folks, it's time we regained our voice and spoke the simple message of the New Testament church. Because so many times we've tried to make this so complicated and so crazy in the way that we've approached it that we've shot ourselves in the foot trying to do things that we, in the power of our own ability, instead of in the power of the Spirit. It says, they are added to the church. We did not become who we are in our history. Going back all these decades by being self-absorbed, by only caring about ourselves. We became who we are because we went about doing good. It doesn't matter if we're standing before Pilate. Keep doing good. Keep celebrating the message of Jesus, his burial, resurrection, amen, death, burial, and resurrection. Pilate, you're not the problem. The one who turned me over to you, that one is the problem. God will deal with the opposition. You just keep doing good. That's all God wants us to do. Haven't you realized by now? We cannot be stopped very easily. Anything that attempts to shut you down, all they do is tone you up when they try to shut you. The creative ability comes out of you because there was opposition. And you can do well on a higher level because you did well on a lower level. Jesus lived it. He paid his taxes. He didn't break the law. He fulfilled what his Father spoke. He made things better. He kept doing good. God has a plan for you that doesn't stop in a tomb. Keep doing good. If you've been struggling doing good because you've been put in a place and you wonder, is this not an assault on my life? It was not an assault. Open your mouth and speak up no matter where you find yourself. We've been too silent for too long in our culture. Don't shorten our reach. Listen, the power that God has invested in the church can reach anywhere that it needs to go. Don't shorten our, I'm here tonight with a word to make sure we don't minimize or reduce all God wants for us in the now. He's got more for us, not less. And before we get engrossed in any kind of business stuff, listen, the busyness and the business of this culture, get involved in kingdom business. Because some fall back into occupation and they slowly withdraw incrementally from God's business. I'll just do this and all will be okay. because, you know, it's something I've got to do with my life. Some have not been committed simply because in looking at how they lived out their lives, they have not found that comfort. They're looking for a place where there's no opposition, and they just keep searching. And they're always looking for a spot where I don't have to be challenged or stretched. Everything is good in my life. In the midst of opposition, no matter how tough it gets, we still have to be doing good. All too many were serving, and now they're looking for other things to get busy in. That's how we lose our first love. That's how we walk away, like the church at Ephesus began to leave its first love for Jesus, incrementally stepping back from the passion and the burning love they had for him. We have to still keep doing good. All too many who serve, they're doing all kinds of other things elsewhere. Busyness of life, you've got to keep doing good. Many have unplugged and they still attend church, but they're not involved. Keep doing good. Serving is doing good. Every member of the body of Christ is a servant, a minister. And for various reasons, some have forgotten they were doing good. Tonight, with both hands and support in prayer, I want everybody who can to be prayed for in this room, and everybody here to be prayed over and anointed, because we at Calvary Christian Center are going to go back into our culture this week, and we are going to keep doing good, to be reignited inwardly by the power of the Holy Spirit to do every good work God's called his church to do. And we will not be silent. We are going to find our way back to service. We're not going to find something else to do before we serve his kingdom interests first. Keep doing good. And listen, don't stop doing good. Don't let anyone or anything stop you from doing kingdom work. Amen? I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to people in the room. Even though you have thought, I'll throw in the towel, I'll quit, I can't keep doing this, I've got other things I need to do on my agenda. No. This is your day. You recommit yourself. You say, I want to be full of the Holy Spirit once again like I once was. And as a result of being filled with the Spirit, yes, you will speak in a language you never learned. Yes, you will have holy boldness to go into our culture. And when you begin to do the works of Jesus, you're going to see his signs accompanying your work, but also to produce the fruit of the Spirit, so that what we do bears fruit and it remains and it's eternal. You may feel discouraged. God will bring restoration right back into your life, because there are those here who need your support, and we need to support each other and then support those who we find stranded in our culture. God will break off anything attempting to hold anybody down in this room if we'll just simply say to him, I'm abandoning myself to you. Everything that would hold you down, listen, you're coming up and you're going to keep doing good. And God says for Calvary Christian Center, I've got more. I'm opening a door for you. You may have had a wing broken off, but you're going to mount up with wings like an eagle. God's going to restore it. You're going to fly once again. Amen. No matter what happened to you, God's going to restore what the enemy stole and what the enemy broke in your life. You will fly again. You just keep doing good. And don't allow discouragement to overwhelm you. Just jump in and keep doing good. And don't let people get you off track and off the rails. And don't let people talk you out of what you know God gifted you to do. You just do what God's gifted you, enabled you to do, and bear fruit of the Spirit wherever you are, and go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for the Lord is with us. Jesus did that. He's the head of the church, and we are his body. we are to go about doing what he did. Because now, as he sits at the right hand of the Father, he has enabled his body to go everywhere on the planet where only he could go one place at a time. We can go multiplied hundreds of thousands and millions of places that he could never appear to and do the works of the Master. Isn't that amazing? We are the body of Christ. And our challenge is to get up off of it and go do what God's called us to do. Amen? So I want everybody standing. I want everybody who can to come to the front and spend a little time together with us in prayer.